DW Africa Link.
African countries need strong economic growth. So how can that be achieved? Experts have long said that rather than big name corporations, it's small and medium enterprises or SMEs that hold the key to changing the economic landscape of Africa, from the dressmaker to the software developer. But with many African economies still struggling, how exactly can SMEs help boost economies? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Africa's small and medium enterprises, SMEs, are essential in contributing towards job creation and economic development. Across Africa, SMEs make up the majority of businesses. According to some estimates in South Africa, for example, they provide employment for more than 50% of the labor force and contribute around 34% of GDP. SMEs are also a big part of the informal economy, meaning they are not regulated or protected by the government. So they often face issues such as lacking access to formal markets, limited growth potential, and vulnerability to legal and financial risks. So let's break all this down with my guests on the show. Gideon Brefo is CEO of Hyperspace Innovation Center in Ghana. His group is dedicated to supporting SMEs grow faster and properly. I also have George Intribuesiakon, CEO of AgriCohab, an SME also based in Ghana. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to the program. So let me start with you, Gideon, because you've been working to support startups and SMEs in general. Tell us or give us a sense of how important SMEs are for Ghana, the markets where you work in, but overall for African economies.
SMEs are the backbone of Ghana's economy. They are contributing 70% to our GDP and constitutes 92% of businesses. This is a no-brainer. We can confidently say that then SMEs are holding our economy. And so if there is any support whatsoever that these ones need, then as a country, as a continent, we need to throw all our weight behind them. And that is what we have been doing from the perspective of the hubs, to try to go to the grassroots. You know, for government is always at the policy level, and most activities even happen in the big cities. So in Ghana, you're talking about probably Accra, Kumasi. But what about the many communities, many districts who are a bit detached from these bigger cities? We are going there with other ESOs to provide the needed support for these SMEs. In Kumasi, for instance, majority of the people are Swami Magazine or Edum or Kejitia. They have a way they've done their businesses for so long, but mostly when the main person is unable to continue, the business suddenly dies. So we are providing guide for them so that they are able to put in measures that will help them grow, because they have more potential than most of them are reaching right now. And then also to put in measures to sustain it when they cannot be the lead.
I opened my mouth in awe when you told me about the reports that you read. Is it also continental wide, how important it is to different African countries?
Yes. The situation is no different. It's a continent wide, do I say situation or condition? Because if you look at the World Economic Forum report, I think that is July 2023, it says although small and medium businesses account for 95% of all registered businesses and contribute about 50% to the total GDP of sub-Saharan African countries. You see, even though at the continent stage, we are talking about 50% thereabout, and Ghana 70%, I think, is in the same region. where we see they are contributing either to the majority or about half the GDP of the various countries.
Right. Let me come to you, George, because you run an SME, and we've talked about that although it's such a great part of the economy and it helps to drive African economies, there are still some challenges. What are the challenges you are facing with your SME, George?
You look at issues of financial access. For instance, you come to Ghana. Now, if you want to access credit, then you are looking at getting an interest rate of between 25 to 35%. So a small business, very difficult for you to get that. And even if you are to even get access, you are looking at issues of collateral and other documentation that you need to meet so that you can actually get credit. Most of the former financial institutions are not interested in financing SMEs for various reasons. You are also looking at issues of ability to attract talent that will actually support their operations because they cannot afford to pay a professional rate to professionals to work with them. Like you want to hire the service of an accountant, you want to hire the service of an HR person or other professionals. So SMEs are facing some of these challenges. And you are also looking at issues of capacity. Most of them do not have the needed capacity. You are looking at in terms of financial management, in terms of marketing and other specialized areas that can propel business growth. So those of us within the SME space, we face some of these basic challenges. Issues of infrastructure, internet. Now we are in the digital space and you are looking at getting access to internet so that you can at least reach larger markets and road networks, and those, especially those in the rural areas. We are located in a peri-urban community. So
there seems to be often little attention given to SMEs, but governments somehow prefer giving juicy deals to multinational companies instead of to SMEs. Why do you think that's the case? And is that a trend continent-wide?
Yes. You look at now, the attention is gradually getting on SMEs because if you look at Ghana, for instance, you are looking at how our unemployment rate is increasing. So government is looking at alternative ways of creating employment, and SMEs sector, which employs about 70%, as was said by Gideon, is what is actually providing the employment that is needed. So in as much as government is looking at the multinationals for maybe for tax purposes and all that, but in terms of the other social aspect, which is job creation, then now they tend to turn the conversation to supporting SMEs, but the support hasn't been enough. The support hasn't been enough, and that is one of the challenges. You're looking at even regulatory challenges. An SME that want to register a business, that want to register a product, they have to go through a tall, challenging list of documentation and processes and procedures. So, of course, government is turning the conversation, but the real support to actually boost small businesses is what is lacking, because the multinationals are giving much of the taxes and providing more support to government revenue and all that. You know, there's a trade-off, but the reality is that SMEs are a go-to area that we wish government could pay more attention to.
Right. Interesting point you made there. Let me come to you, Gideon, for more on that. Because, you know, the difference sometimes with some SMEs compared to, you know, the big international or huge companies is that SMEs are also, or some SMEs at least, are a big part of the informal economy, meaning they are not regulated or protected by the government. What do you make of that situation? Because isn't that one of the reasons they face issues such as lacking access to formal markets, limited growth potential, and, you know, in some cases, vulnerability to legal and financial risks?
Our SMEs are facing a number of challenges, especially when it comes to expansion to other markets. Even just last 3 days, we're having a conversations around IPs. So most of these innovations, while they continue to be at their local level. And
when you do in technical terms like IPs, if you can expand on that, please.
Oh, intellectual property, I mean. So maybe I have my innovation at my own corner. Nobody is taking it away from me. But the moment they try to expand to other markets where there are people that are looking out because they have the financial and technical muscles to jump on anything and scale it up, the moment they get to know about it, they come up with something newer and then take the market away from them. So that's also one of the fears. Beyond that, most of them do not understand the nuances of moving to other markets. So for instance, it's even a big challenge for some innovators or SMEs in, say, places like Techiman, some places in Kumasi and the rest, to think about even now expanding nationwide, the logistical arrangement that they can take advantage of, what are the regulatory requirements if they want to do that, will their kind of business registration allow them to do that, the FDA, GSA certifications that they have, what does that allow them to do in terms of selling or reaching out to other markets? So, yes, we have a huge gap in terms of the know-how and technical abilities of these SMEs.
Is it just a case of the technical gap, or is it a case of some, again, just to address that point of, it's also a big chunk of the informal sector SMEs, right? Because when we talk about SMEs, it's not, what's the word? It's not something, so basically examples of SMEs, right? Could be, you know, the ordinary person selling coconut on the street. That's a business, right? That they could expand and all of that. Or someone, you know, selling clothes, right? These are all parts of the SME sector. But there's the informal sector where there's not much tax going to the government. And so, you know, comparing it to companies that are actually rooted within government connection, it's easier for them to get the necessary help, the necessary tech support compared to SMEs in the informal sector. Isn't that a challenge? And how do you address this challenge?
Yeah, that's a huge challenge because in terms of the national scheme or the scheme of national processes, they don't exist, right? So it becomes difficult if they want to expand or they want to undertake any activities. They either have to do it on their own or they get support from local entities such as the hubs or other enterprise support organizations or community-based organizations. But I always say that most of these innovation hubs or community-based organizations are also startups in that regard. And so it's just like a startup trying to support a startup or a small medium organized entity who is also trying to support people in that regard. So the situation sometimes is a bit dicey because these institutions do not even have the needed resources to provide the support that these SMEs need. And mostly it is also the lead person that actually has what it takes to do whatever the mission of the support organization is. But in terms of their other human resource, he might not have the financial muscles to employ people of his or her caliber that can provide such a support. So everything kind of hangs on one person showed up, which is also a problem in that regard.
Right. George, how can we go around this? How can SMEs, especially those in the informal sector, sort of tap into the larger government pie, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it has proven to be true that the innovation hubs within the various communities are really providing the needed support for SMEs. So I think it should be the pipeline through which SMEs can be supported. So if I'm within a community like I'm in Techiman, which is within the Bono East region of Ghana, and I started a business, I need a support to maybe in terms of regression in terms of capacity enhancement, in terms of market access, then I can get that support through these innovation hubs who are more into enterprise support. Then it makes it quite easier. So it means that government could also channel resources to these community-based hubs so that the support can be that hands-on, it can be that accessible to the SMEs. So I think that's how we could be able to work around some of these challenges that SMEs are going through. I believe that in Ghana, for instance, we don't really focus on a value chain approach to supporting businesses. If I'm looking at helping a business, and let's say I'm helping agro processors, and there are 10 of them. And if you cannot give all of them, and that particular machinery is given to an innovation hub within their community, then it means that all of them can converge within that place and can access that resource. These SMEs will get the needed support, and government will then be working through these innovation hubs within the communities. And in that case, we are building a very robust ecosystem that is helping these SMEs, because, of course, resources are not enough on the part of the government.
But also one thing I remember is that, you know, government wants to do business by also benefiting from it. So if government is doing business with SMEs, I know we've talked about the overall picture of they are going to contribute to the GDP and the economy overall, but we have to talk about the tax part of it, right? How is the ordinary coconut seller who's in the SME business going to contribute to government in any way? What does the government get from such businesses?
All right. In terms of taxes, I think for Ghana, I will advocate that we actually restructure our tax systems because, of course, whatever you buy on the streets, you are taxed in one way or the other. We pay corporate levy, we pay VAT and all that. But even there should be some form of reforms so that the SMEs are paying little so that they could be able to actually sustain themselves. So I think we should have a very strategic approach in terms of how we are structuring our taxes. Because even if government is not getting so much from SMEs, the fact that they are supporting the ecosystem by creating jobs and also helping in terms of introduction of new technologies and innovations, that alone is a way of propelling the economy. So government will have to find other alternative ways of minimizing the tax burden on SMEs so that they'll be able to survive. There's an ongoing work. I think Gideon is much aware of it. This Ghana startup bill that we are hoping to see, that it will come with some form of reforms so that it will make it easier for SMEs to pay lesser taxes so that they can continue to play their role in job creation and also technology and innovation within the ecosystem. So I think policy could do that.
Gideon, come in here and add more to that. Tell us more about the kinds of policies and incentives that could propel SMEs in Africa to, you know, flourish and support the growth of various African economies.
That's an interesting one because I think that even though many of the government profess to be private sector oriented, but I think there's little that is done to support them. For instance, in Ghana, there are a number of bills in the area of SMEs and the rest that are still lying with parliament, and approvals have not gone through, etc. And I know there are other African countries who are going through the same. For areas where we even have policies, I think the issue becomes of how it is implemented. You know, the SMEs themselves don't even read such policies. That is one. And then you have representatives from government institutions that also just want to bully their way through. And so they also misapply the principles of the policies. And so it all becomes very difficult. And sometimes you cannot also blame them too much. They've been given some targets to meet, and so they take advantage of anyone that they can extract some taxes from and go ahead to do that so that they meet their targets. But I'm looking at a situation where we adopt policies that can help SMEs, innovators across Africa, something with Pan-African focus. So, for instance, we know we have the AfCFTA.
So, just a quick note, the AFCFTA stands for the African Continental Free Trade Area. It's based on an agreement that aims to support free trade across Africa, and it's actually the largest such organization after the World Trade Organization. It includes a whopping 1.3 billion people. Back to you, Gideon.
It has very good policies within it that will help SMEs to easily scale across boundaries, across Africa. And the African market is so huge. Really, if we are able to take advantage of the African country, we don't really need the European market at this stage to even thrive in the SME space. Because we are innovating around things that cut across Africa, right? Because in most cases, the needs of the target audience are the same. We basically have most of our issues being the same. And so if, for instance, the AfCFTA can be applied and applied very well, it will make it easier for the SME field to flourish and people can easily scale to other markets. Recently, I was so happy when I saw that there was a conference in Accra where most of the finance ministers and people in the government financial sector met in Accra to consider how the mobile money can be terminated across the African region. So that it's very easy if I need to, for instance, pay somebody in Nigeria or Kenya, I can just do it via my mobile phone. If such policies are working, it makes it very easy because now there are many times you even see something online. So nice, you wish you could buy it, but you can't buy it because it's in another African country and payment is so difficult. So then you have to resort to Amazon or to Alibaba, one of them, and buy something that really does not fit, but you just have to manage with it. So I think we should work at such policies that actually target our African region and are very supportive to what can help SMEs to be able to trade across the borders in Africa.
Right. Thanks a lot for those words, Gideon. George, I'm going to give you the last words, short, strong words about the future of SMEs. Knowing all the pros, the cons, the challenges, what do you see as the future of SMEs and on how they can push Africa's economy to the next level?
I think SMEs are the future of the African economy. You could see a lot of innovations coming out in terms of technology, in terms of agriculture, vocational, and all stuff. So we really have to be intentional about how we are propelling their growth. That's very key. We shouldn't assume they would do well by themselves. We should be very intentional about support that we are giving them. Then I think the African economy would thrive because we are playing with the 70% of employment generators, which is very key. So we need to be very particular about how we are supporting them.
Thank you very much. Gideon Brefo, CEO of Harper Space Innovation Center in Ghana. Thank you very much for your time. Also, George Entribuesiakun, CEO of AgriCohab, an SME also based in Ghana. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
From all that we've heard, there's no doubt that SMEs, including startups, are crucial to the growth of Africa's economy. But challenges still remain. For example, in Kenya, some innovators are working on climate-related projects. But among other things, raising sufficient funds is always a headache. Some business owners shared their thoughts with us, like Chebet Lesan, who turns farm waste into fuel. After initially needing financial help from family and friends, her company, Bright Green, is now well-established, producing renewable briquettes to replace charcoal and firewood.
Where businesses win is when you start to get money from the customer, because that means that you've produced enough value for somebody to say, I have 1,000 shillings. I could buy airtime, I could buy food, or I could buy your product. And they choose your product because your product offers the most value. I think that's what we should start celebrating in investors, as opposed to celebrating how much money you have raised. Because we've seen money that has been raised that really hasn't produced customers, paying customers.
Lesan has been working on this since 2016. So has built up enough business momentum that she now finds it easier to secure financing. There is also an issue for businesses that fund other SMEs, such as Vincent Kiari's Moto Hope Capital. He would like to see more African investors funding climate projects on the continent.
If you have players financing entrepreneurs in Africa, then it means they understand the environment and they come up with sort of a product that fits this market. Because the other thing that we have with the international funders is the mismatch; they don't understand the market. So if you have a local solution, I think that would be a good thing for the entrepreneurs.
Now, while challenges such as access to finance, market barriers, and regulatory hurdles persist, the potential for SMEs in Africa to drive economic growth remains significant. By fostering supportive policies, African economies can harness the full potential of their SME sectors. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Kai Nebe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.